Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the RDL Holdings 9-month 2025 unaudited results conference call. This conference is being hosted by the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Adebite Vilade, and the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Adebola Adesina. All participants will be in a listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions later during the conference. Participants on the webcast may submit questions in the text box provided. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero. Please note that this call is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to the CEO, Mr. Adebite Vilade.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone on the call. Welcome to the presentation of the 9-month 2025 results of RDL Holdings PLC. Just to, before I go too far into the presentation, I'd just like to call your attention to the disclaimer notice that is currently displayed. Please do take note of this. I'll leave this on for a few seconds. All right. The presentation will take this format. I'll be speaking to the key highlights of the 9-month 2025 performance. I would spin off that into RDL at a glance, just looking at us in our current setup, and then dive into the operational performance for the period under consideration. I'm being supported in this presentation by the CFO, Mr. Adebola Adesina, who will then put more context on the financial performance before I come back to round off by way of a closer review of our strategy and the outlook for the near term. Let me just call your attention to the key metrics that summarize our 9-month performance. What we would say has been a very resilient performance. It just continues to reaffirm our status as a well-integrated, well-run business with very strong operational performance and disciplined execution. What you see is each of the performance metrics just trending northwards relative to the same period in the prior year across revenue production, where we have 24% growth in our liquid performance. That 24% growth is subsequent to the compensation for reservoir decline during the period. We see a 41% growth in our gas production. We see a 40% growth in our refined product performance. All these are underpinned by very strong hydrocarbon resource growth and operational performance. All these then dovetail into a total of about 43% growth in our top line to about 538 billion naira, not minding the fact that during the period under review, we've actually had a discount in the realized prices. EBITDA has grown significantly. Profit after tax has grown significantly by a factor of 122%. We continue to reflect very strong operational performance in terms of health, safety, and environment. All these have then led the company's board to recommend an elevated growth in our dividend, our interim dividend that is proposed at 10 naira per share, which is a 25% growth. Essentially, RDL continues to scale profitability across its upstream, across its midstream and downstream segments. Growth remains underpinned by production optimization, strong operational efficiency, and disciplined execution. All these continue to reinforce our position as one of Nigeria's leading integrated energy companies on the Stock Exchange. At a glance, just speaking to us as Aradel, we are a very strongly and fully integrated indigenous energy company with strong operating footprints across the upstream, across the midstream, and the downstream segments. By way of key important notes, we've been in continuous production for 20 years. On the 20th of August this year, made it 20 years of continuous uninterrupted production at the upstream. Over the period from when we started till now, we have significant interest holding across multiple high-grade, high-class upstream assets that continue to form the basis for the delivery of value and returns. Our 2P results as of today, as of 1st of January 2025, stood at 410 million barrels of oil equivalent. Last year, October, we were listed on the main board of the stock exchange. As at November 7, our market cap stood at 3.12 trillion naira, and we have a solid, unbroken dividend payment for the past 15 years. Over the period of the last 5 years, compounded annual growth rate in terms of revenue stood at 78%, EBITDA at 75%. As we speak today, our shareholders base continues to grow. It stands at above 21,000 barrels with about 270 employees. It's a very strongly well-run business, solid fundamentals, and it continues to strengthen our credentials as a top-tier energy investment in the NGX. For the last time when we listed and when we addressed you all in October till now, we've had a number of subsequent significant events that have taken place. Within the period of the past 1 year, we've finalized on the acquisition of our Olo and Olo West marginal fields from the stable of Total Energies and NNPC JV. We've acquired a minority interest stake in Chapal Energies. Chapal Energies today is the acquirer of the divested Equinor assets in OML 128 and 129. OML 128 is home to the Agbami field operated by Chevron. OML 129 represents a very strong vista of growth for gas into the future. Arguably, the largest gas plants in Nigeria are in OML 129. Within that period as well, we are working together with our partners who are joint shareholders in Renaissance Africa Energy Company. We completed the acquisition of Renaissance acquisition of Shell's onshore business. We have a 12.5% direct stake in that business. And indirectly through our shareholding in ND Western, we have another 20.8%, bringing it to a total of 33%. Within that period and more recently, we've also then reached a definitive agreement with Petrolin. Petrolin is a co-venturer with us in ND Western to acquire their 40% shareholding in ND Western. That brings us to about 82% of our total shareholding in ND Western, and also brings an additional indirectly held interest of 20% in Renaissance, making it a total of 53%. I think the key takeaway for me here is that we continue to deliver on our promise to deepen integration, to expand reserves, and to strengthen earnings diversity post our listing. Moving on to our key 2025 9-month performance, total crude oil and condensate production grew by 24%. To about 4.2 million barrels compared to 3.36 million barrels for the corresponding period last year. We grew our daily production as a consequence of that from the 12.3 thousand barrels that we were at in the prior period to 15,300 barrels. These are the outcomes of additional production that were brought in from drilling campaigns. These were as a consequence of strengthening our evacuation channels. That's what basically accounted for the growth we have seen in liquid. In terms of gas, we've, in the period, grown our gas production by a factor of 41%, standing at a total production of 50.6 million scf within the 9 months, as opposed to 36.5 that we had in the same period in 2025. And I think one key I like to mention is that we achieved the highest production in terms of gas at 73 million scf within the period. Essentially, the company continues to sample significant production growth that are hampered on operational efficiency, on reliability, and on the resilience of our infrastructure. Aradel's disciplined growth model continues to drive sustained production and volume expansions and long-term value creation across our integrated energy platform. With respect to the more downstream part of our business, and I'm speaking to the refinery, we've grown refined volume performance by a factor of 40% up to 235.7 million liters within the period, compared to about 169 million in the prior period. And we've continuously sold practically what we refined. Actually, sales within this period stands at 55%, which is a combination of what we refined within the period and brought forward period from last year. And of strategic importance is the fact that within the quarters, within these 9 months, we completed the acquisition of the storage depot in Boracourt, whose objective is basically to enhance our uptime, minimize our deferments, but also significantly increase our marginal performance for the specialty products. And we'll speak a bit about that later on. In our view, our downstream segment continues to deliver volume and profitability growth. Our integrated operations continue to create downstream resilience and optimization of value. I'd like to just take a pause and invite the CFO to just speak to the financial performance for the period.
Thank you very much, CEO. Good afternoon, once again, everyone. Very, very quickly, we'll just run through what the metrics that Mr. Faladi mentioned just now, what they meant for us as an organization during the past quarter. As highlighted in the previous one of the previous slides, we grew revenue by 43% to 538.8 billion. This time last year, the equivalent was 377 billion. And this was driven by, as you saw, the growth across all the businesses, crude lifting, increased gas production, as well as refined products and margins. Crude oil represented 36% of the group. Crude oil grew by 36% to 341 billion from 252 billion in the year before. Again, higher production volumes, same with refined products, that increased by 58%, mostly from optimizing the value that we get from refinery. And this has been a trend ever since we completed the refinery in 2022. This we expect over the next year or so, there will also be an improvement on that number. Gas revenues increased by 50%, underpinned by the increase in gas production from the year before. And also the increase in the share from the revenues is now 7%. This was around 6% for the corresponding period. EBITDA increased by 10%. And a key driver of that, so one of the main reasons not quite matching the increase in revenues, these have to do with increase in the provisions we're making for royalties as we navigate the operationalization of the PIA. And this is an ongoing process. There are conversations around how the measurement of certain items on royalties will be done. And we are progressing that conversation. But to be on the conservative side, we are taking necessary provisions up until we complete this conversation with the NUPRC. Another key component that drove that increase is the operational expenses incurred for the extended well test of Omirelu. We do not expect this to go into next year, as we've now turned out that extended well test and we've started the process of installing the, if you will, permanent assets that will enhance production from that field. The third one relates to increase in staff remuneration and performance related expenses. So these key three key drivers represent the reason that we've got a lower increase in EBITDA versus the increase in revenues from the year before. And as we go into the new year, some of these things will be stabilized and we'll be able to take the benefit of these improvements. We had an increase in PAT by 122% to 245 billion from the year before. And the main driver of the increase in PAT is the addition of our income from Renaissance. Alone, in this year alone, the increase in PAT was 490% from the prior period. This signposts the significance of Renaissance to our portfolio. And as the CEO will pick up from here, he'll shed more light on certain steps that we've taken strategically to improve its ability to contribute to our bottom line and operations. So I'll hand over back to the CEO, where he'll talk about, and we've already talked about the increase in the dividend, interim dividend by 25%, and he'll take us through the other strategy and outlook item that we have for the rest of the year and into 2026.
Just to anchor that the strategic outlook and makeup of how we progress this business, both in the medium and the long term, remain unchanged. They are anchored on four key pillars. The pillar of production growth, the pillar for us to continue to stretch the runway of our capacity and resource holding, through resource addition and expansion of our capacity. The pillar of continuous diversification of our revenue streams. And last but not the least, the pillar of consolidating, which is evidenced in the strategic play to increase our holdings in ND Western. For growth, we will continue to see more of the same. Our focus remains expansion of our production capacities from in-situ organic growth, whilst also leveraging in an opportunistic way acquisitions that continues to drive that level of growth. We're going to see more and more capacity utilization increases across our upstream, across our midstream, and across the refinery. And the intention of all of this is to sustain or is to deliver sustainable growth that continues to ensure that there is credibility in the underpinning performance that translates to the financial results that you see. But whilst doing this, we move on to the second pillar, which has to do with essentially resource replacement and resource addition. A key construct of our business had always been to operate efficiently, to operate prudently, and to ensure that we continuously replace every molecule that we extract. Not minding the level of elevated performances we have seen over the last 5 years, the good news is that we continue to replace by a factor of more than one the resources that we're extracting. And this continues to ensure that we have a significant runway. But more importantly, some key steps we're taking in consolidation is then stretching that runway a whole lot better. Today, we do have a much more diversified resource base. As about 3 years ago, we were just a one-field resource company where everything was coming from Ogbele. As we speak right now, we've started seeing the early offshoots of contribution from Omerelu field. We are currently in the process of having a full field development program for that. We are also working through a full field development that brings our production on stream from Olo. From next year, we will see concerted work that will bring development into our OPL 227. These are directly operated assets. And as we go through the process that leads to an affirmation and approval of the additional interest we're taking in ND Western, we then begin to see more of that. And that for us represents a much more viral, a much more longer future that guarantees sustainability in our business. Part of that medium to long-term strategy is to continuously deepen our integrated play today. Today, that integrated play means we deal in crude oil and gas extraction at the upstream. We deal in refined gas to multiple markets. We deal in refined products to multiple markets. We are working through our opportunity funnel, and in process of time, when it gets to maturation to be able to make definitive announcements, we will, with respect to the further extensions in the value chain that will see us getting to derivative last mile gas-based value extraction in LPG, NGL, and petrochemical. They are still at early phases, but they remain very firm anchors and targets within our medium to long-term pursuits, and as well as bringing production on stream from additional feeds that are within our stable. As part of consolidation, and in a way to make sure that we're able to generate better value for our shareholders, the move to consolidate our investment in ND Western and in Renaissance is to ensure that the accretive value of our interest in each of those two companies continue to bubble up for the benefits of our shareholders. Up until now, our holdings, even though we were in the majority in ND Western, was 42%, but with the acquisition of ND of Petroleum's interest in that same company, we're now stretching it to 82%. That gives us a super majority and makes ND Western a direct subsidiary of Aradel, but then allows Aradel to continue to leverage that for different forms of synergies and efficiencies that ultimately translate into better take from a financial performance standpoint of view. These are the pillars that continue to define our play into the future. And the strategic focus is we'll continue to scale integrated value. We'll continue to ensure long-term sustainability and profitability whilst enhancing shareholder value. In terms of what lies ahead, we're essentially, as a consequence of all these moves around growth, around consolidation, moving into a place where we'll begin to see significant leaps in directly held volumes. And if I just perform out what that means, looking at 2P results as an example, we will be moving potentially from about 36 million barrels of oil equivalent of 2P reserves. We'll be moving ultimately when we consolidate our positions and interest, which we're not able to prior to the acquisition of the 40% interest in Petrolin, go almost 20 times from about 36 million barrels of oil equivalent to about 665 million barrels of oil equivalent. We're going to see annual production on a pro forma basis move from about 4.2 million barrels that we have had in 9 months to an equivalent of about 20 million barrels. And we see similar levels of scale, but even much more taking place in terms of gas production. And I think for us, the key takeaway here is that the consolidation effort helps us to achieve a step change in scale, helps us to position Aradel as a major indigenous player with significant and material upside potential.
And just to put some numbers, and these are just pro forma based off of the historical 9 months of the respective businesses that we're talking about, we would see a movement from below the line where we talk about the share of profit of these affiliates to our business to where we're able to consolidate and recognize them as full subsidiaries, as mentioned by the CEO. For example, Renaissance, Aradel's 9 month revenues is about 350 million. If we were to take a view of full consolidation, that would mean that for this 9 months, we would be able to report about 2.15 billion. At the end of the day, if you follow down, we'll talk about operating profits from $108 million to about $800 million and a profit after tax of $68 billion to $330 million. This has the effect of increasing our earnings per share from just under $0.016 to about $0.051. Now, these are pro forma numbers only based off of the historical performance of the two companies, but we are using this to give you an idea of what it is that we're looking towards upon other things being equal, the approval of successful completion of the transaction.
So that will be all. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your time. This is our stewardship of the company's affairs for the last 9 months. Obviously, I would imagine some questions might have been answered in the course of the presentation, but we are more than happy to field your questions for better insights. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen on the conference call, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star and then one on your touchtone phone or on the keypad on your screen. If you, however, wish to withdraw the question, you may press star and then two to exit the question queue. For participants on the webcast, you may submit your questions via the text box at the bottom of your screen. We will pause a moment while we poll for questions. Thank you. At this moment, we have no questions on the conference call. As we commence the webcast Q&A session, please note that due to the volume of questions we may receive and to enable us to efficiently cover as many questions as possible, we will be grouping similar questions. I will now hand it over to Oreo Lua for webcast questions. Apologies. Oreo Lua, your line is not very clear, ma'am. If you don't mind, can I read the questions from the webcast? I'll read the first one that I can see on the screen. It's from Sila Rasugu of Emerging and Frontier Capital. Will Oradel shareholding in Renaissance Africa NG change after acquiring petroleum equity in interest in ND Western?
Sorry, are we, just to, for process purposes, do we answer each question as it comes, or the preference would be to aggregate them? But we'll, I mean, our preference is to take it as it comes so that we don't lose any and try to ensure everybody's questions are answered.
Do you mind repeating that question?
Sure. Will Oradel's shareholding in Renaissance Africa Energy change after acquiring Petroleum's equity interest in ND Western?
Yes, the answer is yes. Oradel's shareholding in Renaissance will change after acquiring the 40% additional interest in ND Western. The structure of ownership in Renaissance Africa Energy Capital is that ND Western holds or owns 50% of the shareholding of Renaissance Africa Energy Capital. So the 40% petroleum interest that is being acquired translates to an indirect holding of 20% in Renaissance. So the simple answer to that is that upon the completion, upon the successful completion of the acquisition of Petrolin's 40% in ND Western, and upon the receipt of the necessary approvals from regulator and the ministerial consent, Oradel's shareholding in Renaissance will increase by an indirect holding of an additional 20%, bringing it from the current 33.3% to 53.3%.
All right, thank you very much for your for that answer. The next question is from Divine, and it says, there seems to be a general view that demand for crude relative to supply is weakening amid production increases by OPEC and trade tensions between US and China. Has Oradel so far experienced any weakening demand for its crude product? I'll take it one more time. There seems to be a general view that demand for crude relative to supply is weakening amid production increases by OPEC and trade tensions between US and China. Has Ardell so far experienced any weakening demand for its crude products?
Okay. The macros are what they are, but as of today, our crude is sold off of long-term offtake contracts with dedicated buyers. So in terms of a weakening demand, we have not seen that. What usually happens in this kind of situation is an impact on the price of crude, which is the price that it is bought and sold in the open market. And what we do as an organization is to limit our downside risk by entering into hedges to reduce the downside of that. So yes, these tensions exist, but in terms of demand for our ability to sell our crude, these are more or less guarded by the offtake contracts that we have, and then another set of volume, the hedge, and then more volumes also sold to our refinery for local use.
All right, thank you very much for the question, for the answer, rather. So the next question is from Elias Iamuleri from Leadway Assurance Company, and he says, thanks for the presentation. Can you speak to the impact of tax on your business year on year? Confirm if the tax in respect of 2025 9-month accounts is the norm going forward. I'll take that again. Can we speak to the impact of tax on the business year on year? Confirm if the tax in respect of 2025 9-month accounts is the norm going forward.
Okay. Thank you very much, Leader Representative, and I apologize. I missed the name. The tax, I guess we are strangely in a series of transitions, if you will. First was the PIA that was operationalized in 2022, and it's still being, the kinks are still being worked out. Now we have, coming upon us over the next, 2 months or so, the Nigeria Tax Act, and the various changes that these will also bring to our way of doing business. As much as possible, we try to represent the reality of the impact of taxation on our business, and we try to take a conservative view to ensure that we are able to cover these charges once they are incurred and the reviews are done by the regulator. We do not expect anything to surprise us beyond what it is that we're doing currently, but I also want to add that given that we are about to enter into another transition period with the effective of the Nigeria Tax Act, there might be one or two changes that actually might even benefit us as an organization or as an industry as a whole. So changes are still expected, but they could go either way. But as an organization, we'll continue to take a conservative view and recognize the full value of our tax obligations.
Thank you very much for the answer. The next question is from Sila Rasugo from Emerging and Frontier Capital. And the question says, kindly share an update on the refinery expansion to include PNS. How would this impact refinery margins going forward? Kindly provide some guidance on RAE in terms of production, CAPEX, and how CAPEX will be financed. I'll take it one more time. Kindly share an update on the refinery expansion to include PMS. How would this impact refinery margins going forward? Kindly provide some guidance on RAE in terms of production, CAPEX, and how CAPEX will be financed.
Right. Thank you very much. The bulk of the CAPEX for the refinery with respect to PNS has already been sunk. Today we have mechanical completion of the PMS train, and what we're doing right now is going through the commissioning that then allows us to be able to start producing PMS. From a from a capacity point of view, the PMS train is a 3,000 barrels per day capacity train that is able to do about 460 odd million liters per day at full scale. In terms of CAPEX, as I mentioned, that has the largest chunk. What we are going through now, what remains is the commissioning cost, which in our mind is anything in the region of between 10 million dollars plus or minus a certain percentage. And this will be funded from cash generated from operations, as it were. So we don't see any need for a large scale external borrowing in order to complete it, because it has been significantly expensed prior to now. In terms of schedule, the advisory we have right now suggests that we're looking at about a 16-month schedule. We're working with our OEM and commissioning partner to see if we can shorten it beyond that. At this point, we are not making any strong and firm commitment until the first phase of inspection of the integrity of the already installed train has been carried out, which then refines our view as to really how long it's going to take to do the commissioning. That will be the response with respect to performance of the PMS and the refinery.
All right. Thank you very much for the response. The next question is from Bolade Adebola from Chapelview, Denham, and it says, when is the expected completion of the Renaissance deal in 2026? I'll take it again. When is the expected completion of the Renaissance deal in 2026?
The Renaissance deal has been completed as of 2025. Renaissance took over from SPDC, or SPDC became Renaissance effectively March of 2025, and that journey continues. And if I may just mention, within 100 days, we are less than, we took over in March, so we're less than 200 days into the takeover. But what we have achieved since taking over, or what Renaissance has achieved, is growth in its production, which on the average comes to about 40%, came in at about 140,000 barrels per day, and has scaled that up to 240,000 barrels per day, and also done significantly strong in terms of gas production to record levels compared to what the historical have been over the past 10 years. So it's been completed. We're in our operational phase and implementation of our own five-year journey as Renaissance for that acquisition.
All right, thank you very much for the response. The next question is from Olua Koinsola Sonyawu from Stanbic IBTC Research. The question has parts to it. I think we'll be taking them one by one. The first is, there was no share of profits from associates from Chapel Energies in 9 months 2025 results. While we saw numbers from Ending Western and Renaissance, please could you speak to that?
So that has to do with timing of delivery of reports. Given our small stake, we also evaluated the materiality of delaying the delivery of reports for that purpose, and we chose to focus on those that actually have a significant impact, bearing in mind that our interest in Chapal is just about 6%, while for these other companies we're looking at 42% and 33% respectively. So we're still trying to work out the modalities to ensure a seamless communication and transition of information, and we expect that by the full year reports, Chapal's performance post our equity purchase will be fully represented.
All right, thank you very much for the response. I would like to speak to all of the questions asked from Ola Poinsola, so I'll read them out. Ardell invested in Renaissance Chapel Energies and in the Western. Are you looking at more M&A opportunities? That's the first. Ardell's gas prices are relatively low compared to its competitors. Is there a reason for this? The next question is development progress of other fields in your portfolio, Olo Fields and OPL 22. How soon do you foresee first oil in these fields? The next question would be Renaissance operations. What crude and gas production is looking like? How is the deal being financed? The 40% acquisition of Petroleum stake. I'll take the questions again. Ardell invested in Renaissance, Chapel Energies, and the Western. Are you looking at more M&A opportunities? The next question. Ardell's gas prices are relatively low compared to its competitors. Is there a particular reason for this? Development progress of other fields in your portfolio, Olo Fields and OPL 22. How soon do you foresee first oil in these fields? And the last question. Renaissance operations, what crude and gas production is looking like? How is the deal being financed? The 40% acquisition of Petroleum stake.
Okay. All right. Thank you for those set of questions. On that point, Isola. So a company of our size and pedigree always has an active M&A funnel. The M&A that we announced today were within the basket of a funnel that we have been nurturing over time. And our philosophy had always been, we are there for the right deal under the right conditions and the right terms. Would there be any more M&A activity? It depends. It depends on how what we have in the funnel today progresses. And we will continue to look at that and look at the healthy balance of our total funding situation and ability to continue to extract value. So we remain open, but at the right deal. You did ask questions with respect to our gas, that the price is low. Yes, it is low because this there's an heavy weighting of the gas price coming from NLNG. And the NLNG offtake of our gas today accounts for about 95%. Now, these are gas prices that were locked in a long-term offtake agreement dating back to about 13 years ago. Those agreements have been renegotiated as we speak. You might be aware that about a month or so ago, there was a public signing of a new gas agreement to NLNG. So this contract has been renewed and will become effectively shortly now under appreciably improved terms. It's linked to oil price, but it's still a better price performance than what we have had up to date. To the issue around the development progress in the other marginal fields, we're working it as we speak. We're working in partnership with our regulators. We're very clear that we will see additional production coming on stream, first oil from Olo and Olo Fields within the first half of next year. That we see happening. And once we get to those milestones, we will make the announcement. But we're working on bringing these fields into production. And it's a whole lot of development activities from well re-entry, facility installation, facility upgrade, pipelines, commercial negotiations, all that are going on actively as we speak. Guidance would be that we should expect no later than first half of next year to see production coming in from there.
Yeah.
I've already spoken to what the performance has been with respect to Renaissance. Renaissance today is there about in the upper 230, lower 240,000 barrels per day production. And gas production is almost about 2 billion scf with the bulk of that under contract, 2 billion scf per day, on the back of that going to NLNG, and some portion of that sequestered for domestic markets. In terms of how we plan to finance the acquisition of the 40%, it's going to be a mixture of cash reserves that we have built up from cash we've generated from the business and external debt financing. And we have no problem with funding this. It's well, the funding arrangement has been well catered for.
Thank you very much for the responses. The next question is from John Iyamu, and he says, where do you see Ardell earnings go by 2028?
It's a function of many things. Yeah. We are not in the business of projecting where earnings will be, because earnings is a function of, in my mind, at least three key things: your production performance, your price, and your efficiency. Of all of these, we have control on two, which is our production. And we remain committed to production growth. We've consistently been growing, and we are firmly convinced that we will end 2025 at an elevated production performance relative to 2024, and same would happen for 2026. We're going through our business plan as we speak today that will form the basis of the firm commitment and projection for 2026. We strongly believe where we are today is going to be an elevated performance. By whatever factor, that will be the subject of a future announcement. We are not in control of realized price. It's largely market-driven, market-determined. But our journey also involves continuous working on marginal performance. So we will continue to work on our marginal performance just to make sure that we remain strongly in a position that will translate to strong earnings per share performance in 2026. So we hold our own side of what's under our control constant, and with realized prices staying within what has historically been the trend, then we can expect to see better performances.
Yeah, just to support that as well, with anywhere that we see value from an M&A opportunity, that will also contribute. Case in point are the recent deals just announced, specifically the ND Western option opportunity. These will contribute significantly into the future to the value of the business as well.
Thank you very much for the responses. The next question is from Sadiq Abdul. It is a 3-in-1 question, so I'll take the first. Revenue grew 43% year-on-year. What were the key volume versus price drivers behind that growth? Revenue grew 43% year-on-year. What were the key volume versus price drivers behind that growth? The second question, how much of the profit expansion came from higher crude prices versus operational efficiencies? How much of the profits expansion came from higher crude prices versus operational efficiencies? Can you break down segments margins, upstream, midstream, downstream, and discuss which areas saw margin pressure? Can you break down segments margins, upstream, midstream, downstream, and discuss which areas saw margin pressure? The last question, how sustainable are current operating margins given the volatility in crude and refined product prices? How sustainable are current operating margins given the volatility in crude and refined product prices?
Thank you very much. So the first part of the question, we already talked about the increases in revenues. The average realized price actually reduced versus 2024. Average realized price in 2025 was about $85. 2025 is just about 73 or so also dollars per barrel. The key driver for upstream revenue has been the increase in production, as well as an increase in volume exported. Same goes for refinery, as well as for gas. Bottom line, we're saying is across our three businesses, the primary driver of revenue over the past 9 months is an increase in output. That's for the first question. The second question is tied to the first, where you asked what part of the EBITDA is tied to prices. Again, the prices are lower than the year before, so it's more volume driven than price driven. The third question of the breakdown per segment. I mean, these details are in the a part of segment report that that we delivered as our Q3 financials. But as part of this presentation, we will reproduce this for ease of analysis. We'll put that as an appendix in the final version of this document that will be released to you and as well put on our website. On the sustainability piece, you're 100% correct. Volatility is a critical factor that affects our business. And what we can do as an organization is to A, continue to diversify our revenue streams such that we, the shock of the volatility is not felt as hard as somebody who has a specialist offshore business, if you will. That means using more of our, using more of the value that we can derive from our refinery business, as well as, making sure that we hedge our production. As mentioned earlier, we also use that to ensure our downside protection is obtained, and we will keep doing that into the future. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for the responses. Another question from Adebayo Banjo from Cardinal Stone. And we have 8 questions in total from him. And some of the questions have been previously answered, but I'll take them one after the other. So the first question is regarding the recent announcement to acquire an additional 14% equity interest in Ending Western Limited. Can you provide a target timeline for the acquisition? What stage is the company currently at? I believe this was already answered. The second question is, how does Ardell intend to finance the acquisition? Which I believe has been answered as well. The third question is, what steps have been taken to manage and maintain liquidity, especially with respect to borrowing and transaction costs in the acquisition? The fourth question, can you provide guidance on incremental volumes? We should expect once, can you provide guidance on incremental volumes we should expect once the consolidation of Eddie Western and Wright is completed? The fifth question is, can you share an update on the 5% acquisition in Chapel Energies? Can we expect to see its impact on Ardell's earnings? The sixth question is, could you provide guidance for full year 2026 for production volumes, capex and borrowings across Ardell's current asset base? The seventh question is, given the expectation of weaker oil prices in full year 2026, how does Ardell intend to manage its portfolio to prevent an earnings decline next year? I believe this was already answered as well. The last question is, should we expect any changes to the current dividend policy? Thank you.
Okay. All right. I would take some of these and I would have the CFO diving on the remaining ones. With respect to where we are at on the 40%, on the planned acquisition of the 40% interest in Ending Western, we are going through the necessary regulatory approvals as we speak right now. And we are unable to put a timeline to it because it's not strictly within our control. As investors, you would have followed how this has panned out. with similar acquisitions. Whilst we are not hoping or expecting that it will be anything as protracted as it has been, the reality remains that we have no control, but we remain optimistic, and we're having fruitful traction as we speak right now with the regulators. We've spoken to how we intend to finance this. It's going to be a combination of cash reserves built over time and third-party debt financing, which have all been secured. What steps are we taking to manage liquidity? The beauty is that this company has always been highly cash generative. Liquidity had never really been a challenge to us. Over the course of the last 2 years, we had consistently retained liquid cash position in excess of $200 million. Whilst that will be recourse to some extent for the planned acquisition, the fact of our highly cash generative, the nature of our business, including the expanded footprint when the acquisition happens, we just continue to strengthen our liquidity as it is today. Not to mention the fact that we also, as we speak today, have some lines, some credit facility lines that are yet to be drawn, that are in place should we need to call upon them in the course of our business. But we do see our cash generation being sufficient to continue to meet our ongoing obligations. In terms of guidance on volumes, when we complete this transaction, I think we can do a rough and dirty thing today. And we did actually flash that in the course of the production, the presentation. Just taking a snapshot view of what has happened in the last 9 months. For example, crude oil production today, which for Aradel directly operated assets alone, stood at 4.2 million barrels, has the potential to then become about 18 million barrels, in terms of what the pro forma projection numbers would be for 2025, 9 months. In the same token, almost 14 billion scf of gas then transforms to about 123 billion scf of gas. That's a sort of rough order of magnitude of what we see as a consequence of completing this, wherein we're able to then consolidate proportionate volumes arising from both ND Western and Renaissance because of the emerging majority position that this transaction confirms on us. You asked a question with respect to the 5% interest on Chapal. We will, as has been clarified earlier on by the CFO, work to ensure that we can give a feel of what that number signposts for us. It's not a lot of number today. The investment in Chapal is actually a foot in the door, more for the future, and especially the adapting gas play than it is for the moment. Admittedly, there is some element of the moment. It's not a lot. And considering the fact that our own stake in Chapal is also not a lot as we speak today, this move in Chapal represents more for us a foot in the door for access, significant access into large-scale gas reserves than anything else. But whatever those numbers are, we will provide them at the next point of public disclosure, what those numbers mean and what sort of impact they portend to Aradel as it is today. In terms of what the outlook looks like for 2026, we are not able to provide that right now, just because the numbers have not been firmed up and there is a process. That process entails us to work this through with the regulator, get regulator's approval and sign off on our business plan and promissory notes with respect to capex spend, with respect to production, with respect to reserves. It's only after we've done that we can make market disclosures with respect to that. And that process is going on right now as we speak. We expect that in the next couple of weeks, we will come to some sort of landing with the regulator that will result in a sign-off, and that forms the basis for which we can make market disclosures. With respect to the to the point around foreseeable weaker crude oil prices. I think this is one of the places where our integrated play continues to offer a very strong inbuilt hedge for us. Today, our revenue stream is so diversified that we've got that capacity to maintain a baseline revenue basis. Baseline at the upstream that is underpinned by our hedge arrangement in place on crude oil price. Baseline in the fact that an increasing proportion of our revenue today is coming from gas that is also secured by long-term offtake agreements. But also, we then find ourselves in an interesting position where we're able to switch the market where we realize value for our liquid upstream between exports and refining. And the reality today is, whilst both of them move in similar direction, that's realized price from refinery and realized price in terms of exports, the relationship is not perfectly elastic, or it's not perfectly inelastic, that we are able to make those switching decisions as to which gate we generate value from between through the refinery or export based on what prices are. So we've got some fantastic inbuilt edges in the way our business is integrated that we strongly believe will continue to navigate plausible weak price in the future. And whilst we continue to also rein in cost and be as cost efficient as we can be. So we don't think that will be a big issue, a big challenge as it were. Do we expect changes to the current dividend policy? It's presumptuous to state that right now. But what we can say is that we'll continue to monitor the existing dividend policy in the light of the impact of our mergers and acquisitions, in the light of expansion program, in the light of our operations. But probably the biggest lens to gauge what that policy and interpretation should be or will be is to look at what has been declared as the interim dividend for 2025. Which despite all the moving parts around the need to invest more, the need to scale up, the need to consummate M&A transactions, is still coming at a 25% increase on what the interim dividend for same period last year is. The board of the company is very mindful of the need to continue to sustain superior shareholder return, which has been one of the hallmarks of Aradel. And any decision, if any at all, that will be taken would be to make sure that that value proposition remains.
Thank you very much for the responses. The next question, again, from Oluwakwa Insola Sonyowo from Starmake IBTC. And the question says, can we get an idea of the capacity utilization of the refinery? The following question, which I believe has been answered, is, is there an update around PMS production from the refinery?
Okay. In terms of capacity utilization for the refinery today, it stands at just below 50%. It's just about 50% as it were. In terms of what it's able to do, the refinery can go as high as 75-80% today. As of today, effective capacity utilization is 53%. However, the how we move forward between the 53% and beyond that is going to be calibrated by feedstock availability. Today, all the feedstock that is processed in the refinery is 100% sourced from our own upstream production. We are in conversation with third-party operators within our corridor, and to secure third-party feedstock supply for the refinery in order to scale up the refinery throughput performance beyond what it is today. Obviously, we are also doing some balancing in terms of how much of our production goes to export and how much of that is committed to local refining. And we'll continue to work that in such a way to maximize value from an enterprise point of view for ourselves. But today, it's 53%. In terms of capacity utilization, there is headroom for more. How much of that headroom is recourse in the near term is a function of how fruitful ongoing conversations with third party for third party feedstock supply pans out. I've already spoken to the PMS, so I'll just anchor it on the clarification I've given on the PMS prior to now.
Thank you very much for the response. The next question is from Kevin Wesley from Linkage Assurance PLC. And the question says, what are your views on the likely impact of increased adoption of electric vehicles on the company's 5 to 10 year outlook? And what mitigants are you looking at putting in place to manage this? I'll take it again. What are your views on the likely impact on the increased adoption of electric vehicles on the company's 5 to 10 year outlook, and what mitigants are you looking at putting in place to manage this?
Okay, thank you for that question. To be very direct, we do not see any appreciable or meaningful impact on us as a consequence of the growth of EV. Primarily because PMS is not a major demand subsector for us as it is today. And even in advanced countries where there is massive, significant rollout of EV, it has not attenuated their growth for hydrocarbon fuel energy for fueling their energy deficiencies. So we don't see that in the next 5 years being an issue for us. However, we've always prided ourselves as not just an oil and gas company. We are an energy solution company. And part of our own 5 to 10 year outlook continues to see the adjustments we make to bring the energy solutions and sources of tomorrow to start working in today. It's the reason why we went into PMS. It's the reason why we are growing scale in gas. And it's the reason why we continue to do a few other integration in the value chain beyond the gas value. So we don't see any impact, but we continue to keep an eye on it. We strongly believe that the adoption of EV, both here and externally, will not significantly distort the energy mix as we have it today, whether in Nigeria or beyond. The global energy mix shows increase in the contribution from electricity and all of that, but it also shows steady growth happening in the demand for gas and for oil. And all this is because of significant population growth worldwide. All this is because of significant growth happening in different big economies that are seeing an increase in their GDP performance. So we strongly believe that the contribution, the relevance, and the presence of oil and gas will continue to be dominant going into the future.
I thank you very much for the response. This is from Oak Family, and it says, what's the rationale behind buying of typical shares in your books?
Thanks. It's, when you look at the amount, it is part of our intention to manage our portfolio of cash to seek stable and value accretive businesses that are publicly listed that we can invest in. So that was what informed our decision to invest in GTCO. You will notice that it's a pretty small amount, and they are available to be traded at any point in time should we so need the cash for other purposes. Thank you.
I thank you very much. So the next question is from Siva Rasugu, Imagine Frontier Capital. And the question says, what was RDL's OPEX per BOE in USD? How is this operating cost base? How is this operating cost base likely to evolve after the consolidation of ND Western Renaissance? I'll take the question again. What was RDL's OPEX per BOE in USD? How is this operating cost base likely to evolve after consolidation of ND Western and Renaissance?
So our OPEX per BOE And you please bear with us that there are various definitions, but as far as we know, one key one is that equalizes operators is the field-based OPEX per barrel, and that for us today is about $17 per barrel. We expect that with these acquisitions, that number will come down as we're able to take advantage of opportunities across all of these businesses and the increased volumes that come from in the Western and the attribution of Renaissance. That's something.
No, the natural efficiencies that we're going to achieve as a consequence of the increase in our share coming from running the business more efficiently, we'll definitely see a downward pressure on OPEX per BOE.
All right, thank you very much for the response. Another question from Oluwakoyinsola Sanyowo. The question says, can you shed more light on the share-based compensation scheme, as they seem to have had a significant effect on OPEX? Is this scheme limited to this year or over a few years? I'll take it again. Can you shed more light on the share-based compensation scheme, as they seem to have had a significant effect on OPEX? Is this scheme limited to this year or over a few years?
So the scheme was effective from 2021 to 2026. And in terms of terminal date, we expect this scheme to end in 2026. And given where the value of the company came from, that was what informed the structure of the scheme. Yes, it had an impact on this year, but we expect that from 2026, we will not have this showing up in a material fashion.
Thank you very much. Question from Prosper Olushola from Afri Invest. The question says, upon consolidation of acquisition in ND Western, what is the projected revenue ND Western is expected to contribute to revenue going forward? I'll take that again. Upon consolidation of acquisition in ND Western, what is the projected revenue ND Western is expected to contribute to revenue going forward?
Okay, we had mentioned this before. The process for determining what the future output of ND Western is going to deliver is being reviewed and discussed, and it's part of the ongoing conversation with regulators. As far as the PIA is concerned, these need to be signed off by the NUPRC, and a number of companies are in that space trying to close out that process, now including ourselves. And as of today, separately, ND Western. We hope that in the next couple of weeks, this will be concluded and we may be able to disclose this to you accordingly.
Thank you very much. If I may add to that, please,
I'll just call attention to the pro forma number that we shared in the course of the presentation. It helps to put in context what that might look like. Essentially, we're able to consolidate the annual revenue performance of Aradel and ND Western. That's something we can quickly figure out as we look at it.
Yeah. That's included in our share of revenue.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for the responses. The last question here is from Ivan Muyen from Access ARM Pensions. The question says, on page 16, of the slide, your strategy aims to achieve 2P reserves of 342 MMBOE, but Aradel has attained 410.6 MMBOE as at 1st January 2025, as per page 6 of this slide. Could you clarify the expected growth to 2P reserves? I'll take the question again. On page 16 of the slide, your strategy aims to achieve 2P reserves of 342 MMBOE, but Aradel has attained 410.6 MMBOE as of 1st January 2025. As per page 6 of the slide, could you clarify the expected...
Okay. Thank you very much. I think the point to make is that that element of strategic growth has actually been overtaken by this transaction. This came out of a 5-year projection, which we were striving under the combination of our directly operated assets and our share of ND Western, that we were going to grow from a then known position of 175 million barrel of oil equivalent to 342 million barrel of oil equivalent. As at the time we framed this, the acquisition of the 40% interest in ND Western and the subsequent implication in Renaissance was not even on the radar as at that time. What has then happened is that that transaction, just this planned acquisition, has all of a sudden reset the target from what this 5-year program is, such that we are ahead of the curve as we speak today. In our next cycle of our 5-year revision, it will carry a totally different number, which will reflect our current reality as of today. But the transaction under view right now, when completed, will deliver a 2P results of 410 million BOE, truthfully speaking, by 2025, which then makes this target one that needs to be refreshed within the next cycle of our 5-year planning.
Yeah. Thanks for the challenge.
All right, thank you very much. So the last question here from Adebayo Banjo from Cardinal Stones. Can you explain the pro forma numbers well? What period is it covering? Can you explain the pro forma numbers well? What period is it covering?
Okay. Thank you very much, Adebanjo. The numbers are using historical numbers of the businesses under consideration. So they represent the same 9-month period, January to October 2025.
All right, thank you very much.
All right.
I would like to check in with Irene to see if we have any participants currently queuing up on the conference call.
Thank you. We do have a question on the conference call. The question is from Lanre Buluro of Chapel Hill Denham. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and congrats on your 9 months thus far. I guess some of the confusion is around the transaction I was done with ND Western, and I think I heard you say correctly saying that we'll take regulatory approval. Assuming that comes this year, will this be 2025 consolidated? And of course, going forward, I guess people are trying to build their models to factor in the Renaissance in your numbers going forward. So it'd be very helpful to know 2025, assuming that approval for the trade, we'll have a consolidated view when your accounts are released next year.
That is correct. The intention is to consolidate. If the approval comes this year, or we can complete this year, the RDL's financial statements will represent a consolidated set of financials. I hope I answered your question.
Thank you. Once again, well done. I look forward to the full year account. Yes, you did. So thank you again. Look forward to your full year accounts when they do come out.
Thank you.
Thank you, Oriolua. We have no further questions on the conference call.
Thank you, Irene. We've also exhausted all the questions in the chat box. Over to you, Irene.
Thank you. For any further information or questions you may have, please kindly send the questions to the email address shown on your screen. For the benefit of those on the conference call, the email address reads ir@ardal.com or ardal@vardi.org. We'll repeat that again, ir@ardal.com or ardal@vardi.org. Now, I would like to hand over to Mr. Adegbite Folade for closing remarks. Thank you.
Just to say a big thanks to everyone who has been on the call, and thanks to all those who helped to put this call together. We will be drawing the curtain at this point, and we'd like to just say we will come back to you at the next point when we are able to preview as to what our performance has been in the near term. Thank you, and it's bye for now.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.